Welcome back to the Crossover Podcast, the show you get comics, pop culture, and sports, and get ready for a little more sports as we are talking a little bit more baseball on the podcast here. I'm your host, as always, Matt Pearson. Joining me, as always, is Craig Needles. How the heck are you, Craig?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
All right, great to have you. So we're back here for the second half of our MLB Win Totals pod. This time we will be talking about the National League. And, you know, normally when we do this, because we live in an AL region, we play in an AL keeper league, correct? Not keeper league, but an AL fantasy league. We tend to, most years we've done this podcast, I'm pretty sure every year except this year we've done the National League first, because we like to save the meat of our conversation that we're, quite frankly, just a little bit more interested in. This was not the year. We decided, why don't we switch it up for a change, talk about AL first, and then get into the National League. And we were somewhat rewarded for such behavior, because if we'd have recorded our National League podcast first, obviously we would have talked about it, because it's the biggest story in sports right now. But yeah, looks like the Dodgers, and I guess we'll use this to segue into the NL West win totals conversation. But Dodgers might have a little situation brewing there, Craig. I know Otani is going to address this on Monday. We'll see how that goes. We're recording this Sunday night, so we'll see how that goes. But
I don't understand why he's talking.
Yeah.
To me, you're issuing a statement, and then you're not, like, I understand that, you know, there's an expectation that major leaguers should be talking to the media, and there, of course there should be, but I just don't understand what he's going to say here that helps, unless the exact scenario that I'm about to outline as far as what I think happened here has occurred, and he is going to just come out and straight up be honest about it. But I would suspect that any lawyer is going to sit here and tell you to absolutely not do that. Would you care to hear what I think happened?
I would absolutely love to care to hear, because we're talking about Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher catcher, right? Or the pitcher hitter? With the translator, Craig. With the translator. The guy with the translator. Yeah.
He's involved in a gambling scandal.
Yeah. What? Craig, I think if the biggest baseball player on planet Earth right now was in a gambling scandal, I'd know about it. Oh, God, I love that Conan bit. Well, that Conan bit's so good.
Get the translator on the phone.
Yeah, let's get Ipe on the phone. God, I love that bit. That's so good.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I believe happened. So the timeline of the events was, there's a bust involving this illegal Southern California bookie. We find out the guy's got millions of dollars from Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani's people come out and say, look, he was paying off his buddy Ipe's debt. You know, the guy who also works for the Dodgers, he's the translator. He's paying off that guy's gambling debts. That guy sucks at gambling. Seemingly moments after that, they come out with a statement saying, no, Ipe was stealing from Shohei. Can't have that. Oh, that's bad. Don't do that. And then the entire thing's out of control because they've changed their story so quickly. My belief is, and I think this is Occam's razor here, the first story they told was true. Shohei was bailing out his friend who sucks at gambling. But then someone told Shohei's lawyers what was going on, and they said, wait a minute, sending wire transfers to bookies is very, very, very illegal, especially in the state of California. Shohei's going to go to jail if that's the story. We've got to change the story immediately. That's what I believe has happened here. I don't think that Shohei Ohtani would have been stupid enough to bet that kind of money with an illegal bookie. And I certainly don't think Shohei Ohtani would have been stupid enough to bet that kind of money on anything related to a Major League Baseball game. Because the reality here is, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, like, if Shohei Ohtani's bookie or Ohtani himself or whoever lost $4.5 million betting Sunday NFL parlays, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, that should be a non-issue. Like, it's a lot of freaking money. And I guess that they would not like the fact that he's doing it with an illegal bookie. But, you know, guys are allowed to bet on the other sports. There's nothing in the Major League CBA that says you can't do that. I think that Shohei actually was trying to help out his friend who sucked at gambling and did transfer that kind of cash in order to assist the friend. And then someone said to him, Shohei, if this is the story, you're going to go to jail. And then they had to scramble to change it. That's my belief as to what happened here. That you may disagree, but that's what I think is the simplest, cleanest, most logical explanation.
Yeah, I gotta say, as much as I wanted kind of Shohei not to go down, but like a funny like to hear like the Dodgers be like, we got Ohtani, because obviously you know I hate most LA teams and LA is a sports city, and I don't like the Dodgers and the, that fake bubble title that they've got. It would have been funny if this resulted in Shohei getting like a year suspension or something like that, and then you know it you know you could make people online could make funny memes where it goes, you know, oh here's them inking Shohei to the 1 year deal, and then the Curb Your Enthusiasm you know music hits, you know, bum, 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 ba, da, da, you know, like that whole bit, like it, like the meme would be endless, but it like if you're reading the tea leaves, I think I'm right there with you. And it's kind of strange that of the four major league sports, baseball is kind of the one that seems to be more stuck in the past than the other three. I mean, you can make an argument for the NHL being stuck in the past, especially certain aspects of the game and people's beliefs on the game. The MLB CBA has it right as far as like the players and the gambling rules, I think, where it's like, listen, you guys can gamble, but if we catch a whiff of you guys betting on baseball games, like, you're done. Which is what it should, that should be it in all four major sports, right? Major North American sports. Because, like, we had the instant, you know.
In the NHL, that basically is the rule.
Is it? Yeah, then why, well, did the guy get, well, to, like, the fella for the Senators who got pinched for, and missed, like, 50 games, was he betting on hockey?
Right, Shane Pinto missed 41 games. The league never actually said what he did. Shane Pinto and the union need to waive any sort of right to appeal that 41 game suspension. My belief, and I think this has kind of been hinted at, but no one's actually confirmed it, someone was placing bets on Shane Pinto's account that wasn't Shane Pinto. There were bets on NHL games in there that I do not believe involved the Ottawa Senators. And they realized what had happened. And then the NHL, because like to me, if Shane Pinto was betting on hockey, the NHL's rules say, Shane Pinto, you're done forever. If Shane Pinto was betting on something else, the NHL's rules say nothing happens to Shane Pinto. I think the fact that it's between those things was, Shane, you were sloppy with this. You gave your gambling account password to somebody. This is a real problem. So we are going to like do a half measure on you to send a message to everybody else. Don't screw around with this.
Yeah.
You just thank your lucky stars that we're not kicking you out of the NHL forever, because there were bets on hockey placed on your account, and if we wanted to fight this out in court, we could. And that's why I think that they just took the 41-game suspension and lived with it. That's my suspicion, very least.
Which is probably smart. The NFL, they've got it a little bit backwards, right? Where guys are getting pinched
NFL,
for betting on.
You can't bet in the stadium. Like if the players are not allowed to bet in the stadium, then there should not be gambling kiosks in the fucking stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so bad, because that happened to Jameson Williams and a couple other guys. I know the buddy from the Colts got pinched for the same thing.
Yeah, now some of those guys, I forget which was which, some of those guys were placing bets on their phone from the team facility.
Yeah.
But that still is very stupid. Like, Jameson Williams, I believe, was a college football bet. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and even if the league were to say, you know what, no college football either, let's just, like, no football bets at all and put that in the CBA, I could understand that. That's not what's in there, to be clear. But I could understand if they said, we're just not doing any bets on football at all. I don't want anyone to say, oh, man, my buddy who still plays at Alabama told me that star player X has a bad knee, so I'm betting against the Crimson Tide. So I understand how maybe the NFL would say, well, let's not do this. But the whole thing about, well, you placed a bet from the team facility. Like, okay, if that's going to be against the rules, then they're not allowed to be gambling kiosks in the team facility. So it's all very, very stupid.
Yeah, and I guess, have we had a basketball betting controversy yet? Not one. Is the NBA the last one to... It seems like the NBA is the last one to go down.
Unless we count the referees, no.
Yeah, right? So not in this new era of legal gambling anyway, or of legal-ish gambling. The NBA is the last one. Yeah, but the NBA has obviously had stuff in the past. And you brought this up on Twitter, and it was a great tweet by you to mention that now basically all four of the major sports, a Hall of Famer or some that they would consider to be the greatest player to ever play, each of the four major sports, have been involved in some sort of gambling, controversy. Oh, Michael Jordan, yeah, obviously. Wayne Gretzky.
Do we have a Brady one? Like, I think we only have three or four because we don't have enough.
Is it?
I don't think, like, there isn't a Brady or a.
True, Montana or any of those guys.
Jordan,
yeah, you're right.
Gretzky, Ohtani,
and Pete Rose. And Pete Rose, who some argue is the greatest baseball player of all time, you know, based on certain metrics. I mean, he's baseball's all-time hits leader. I think nobody has won more games in professional sports than Pete Rose. So, like, you could argue that sort of a thing, right? Now, Pete's was different because he was betting on base. He's admitted he bet on baseball games.
The thing about the Pete Rose story, and everyone, like, the Pete Rose defenders never acknowledged this. The Pete Rose story went from, I was placing a lot of bets, but never on baseball. I was placing a lot of bets. Some of them were on baseball, but don't worry.
They weren't on games I was involved in.
All right, maybe I was placing some, but I was always betting on the Reds to win, which in and of itself is a fucking problem.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel that the stories change enough over the years that at some point, like, and maybe he takes this one to his grave, but, like, you went from I never bet on baseball to I was betting on games that you were managing in. At some point, did you bet against the Reds? Like, that to me justifies being done forever. I know that some people say, okay, we can put him in the Hall of Fame. You acknowledge the gambling controversy on the plaque. And then, but he, like, he can never work in Major League Baseball again. Because, like, obviously having a plaque in the Hall of Fame doesn't, like, mean that you're working in baseball. I think, though, that you've got to, like, you've got to drop the hammer.
For sure. And they did the same thing. There were the kids in Arizona State in, like, 94, too, who were shaving points and whatnot. There was that thing.
So baseball's had a few of these where, you know, like, legends, Joe Jackson obviously is, because of gambling stuff, get banned forever. And if Shohei Ohtani is betting on baseball games, he has to be banned forever. I don't think that's what's gone on here. I don't believe that to be the case, but I don't know. I just think that that would be just an all, like, if, like, Shohei Ohtani could never play another major league game again after he gets hurt. And the Los Angeles Dodgers would owe that man $700 million. Basically, the only way to not be owed $700 million is to be kicked out of baseball for the rest of your life. That's the only way. So is he really doing that? That, you know what I mean?
Michael Jordan, right?
Now, of course, Jordan was like a homicidal competitive maniac. I shouldn't say homicidal, but, you know.
I would.
The reason I don't want to say homicidal when we're talking about gambling with Jordan is, like, the conspiracy theory that his father was killed because of gambling debt.
That's fair.
But which I don't believe that to be the case.
No.
Based on what we know of the guys who were responsible. Well, that's not here or there. Jordan would never have in a billion years bet against the Bulls because Jordan was insane. And just never something he would have done. But if you're not initiated, the old conspiracy theories, I think that was Bill Simmons the first person to propagate this or was it somewhere else?
I don't think he was the first one to propagate it. I think he was the first one to definitely make it public on a like a guy with a major platform, like a major website / platform to perpetuate this sort of a thing. But
David Stern said, Michael, you got to knock the gambling off. I'm suspending you for a year and a half. Here's your cover story.
Yeah.
We'll see the 95 playoffs.
And there's just no way that's true, right? There's just no way.
Here's the thing. If that was true, we would know about it by now.
Yeah.
Somebody said something.
Yeah, there's just no way that's true. It doesn't make any sense. The man was, like, we've all seen The Last Dance. He was he was the first ever, like, global athlete that came from North America, right? Like, he's not a soccer player. He's not, like, a cricket player or anything like that where those are global sports. This was basketball, which is now a global sport, I acknowledge, but it's a global sport because of Michael Jordan, right? Like, because he was so huge in the 90s. The man helped create Nike, all these things. He quote unquote saved the NBA. Like, there's no way David Stern went up to him and said, you know what I'm sick of? Making tons of money, right? Like, and I don't want to make a ton of money for a year and a half. I'm going to suspend Michael Jordan.
Justify that from Stern's perspective, the league's perspective, yeah. Whatever, is if you had information that Jordan was betting on NBA games that he was involved in.
Yeah, and, but I just don't believe that. It's too
now,
wild,
that said,
right?
Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan did have his share of gambling controversies.
Yes.
But that one was never confirmed to be amongst them.
Yeah.
That's the comparable of what we're talking here. People may think that, oh, yeah. Why are you guys talking about Jordan? Because it's a direct comparable. Whereas 100%. You have maybe the best who's ever done it, now is involved in this type of a mess. The only thing is, the public's attitudes about gambling have shifted and changed, obviously, over the years. Especially now. So, like, even the Wayne Gretzky gambling scandal, which I think his wife and Rick Tockett wound up taking the fall for.
Yeah.
That's one of those, it's like the Brian Colangelo thing. Like, all right, I'm going to let my wife take the fall for this.
Yeah.
Even the Wayne Gretzky scandal, I think we would have felt differently about it in 2024 than we did whatever year it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not dissimilar to those. In fact, bigger than Gretzky's, because Gretzky's long retired when his happened. This is not dissimilar to those as far as the impact on the sport. So I don't think Shohei Ohtani is going to be kicked out of baseball forever. But, like, if someone said to you, what are the chances of that? I think only a fool right now, unless you knew exactly what happened, only a fool would say 0%. It might be 1%, but I don't think it's zero.
No, it's...
Because there is a non-zero chance that he has placed major league bets with this bookie. And if that's the case, he has to be done. And I'll tell you, if he did place major league bets with this particular bookie, one would suspect that bookie is going to sing like a fucking canary.
Yeah.
Save that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
they'll cut him a deal, right? Yeah, for sure.
You and Mr. Bookie are facing some jail time, but you know who the gambling people would probably like to nip in the bud more so than you is the major league player who's betting on games. Again... I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think I'd be shocked if that is the case, but it's not a 0% chance.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's well. Now, if we were to read the tea leaves through gambling, Craig, the Dodgers win total would suggest that is currently the case because they are still on the board. The Dodgers, who as of the recording of this conversation, have played two actual major league games against the Padres in Korea. So they're... current record is 1-1, and their season win total actually opened up at 104, and it is down to 103 now. So the fact that it's 103 and not 97 or off the board completely, Craig, suggests to me that the behind-the-scenes bookmakers and their info guys would let us know that Shohei Ohtani is not that this Monday press conference is not about to.
Shohei Ohtani will be available for as of now all 160 remaining Dodger games. Yes.
Yeah. So, gambling wise, what I'll say, the over under 103, and I don't see a lot of 103s. It opened up at 104. I bet the under on 104.5, and this has to do with our. And I know that this is a Dodger team with an insane lineup. I know this is a Dodger team with we'll wait and we'll see how this rotation ends up. I know there were a lot of gambling stat guys who were placing futures bets on Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who was bashed around in his one and only major league inning that he has pitched so far. I don't think that... Yamamoto is going to end up being a bust, but obviously that was a one inning heavy hit to the long odds Cy Young case that I know a lot of people had placed money on, including yours truly. But only one team that has opened up in the history of Major League Baseball, only one team that has opened up with a win total exceeding 100 wins, Craig. Only one team has ever went over. And
was it this exact Dodgers core?
It was the 2021 Los Angeles Dodgers. That is the only
team. So basically, This team has all the exact same dudes as that one, only this team has Shohei Ohtani on it now.
Yeah, so...
The pitching staff is objectively worse. The pitching staff.
Yes, than the 2021 Dodgers, it is absolutely worse, especially if Yamamoto is going to, you know, have an ERA approaching infinity.
We can't go too crazy on that. That's one ball
game. No.
You know what I mean?
One ball game in Korea a week before the season started. A week before the season was technically supposed to start.
Certainly weird as far as ramp-ups go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's don't get too crazy on that.
No. I'm not cashing in my Yamamoto futures.
I'm either taking the over, mm-hmm. or I am not betting on this. And I'm like, but I don't think I'm betting on this.
Well, I'll tell you the stat guy. The sharps are on the under for this team.
The under, you think? Like
the sharps are on the under, and I think
they have the best record in baseball, and you could lose this bet. I understand that's part of what might happen here.
Mm-hmm.
I just. They're going to score a billion runs.
Yeah.
If the plan is, our top three hitters are Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman, like, that's insane.
It sure is.
That's just unreal. And then, like, okay, well, maybe you get through Will Smith. He's pretty good. On to Max Muncy. Well, here comes Teoscar Hernandez. Like, it just, it's like...
squeezing the last juice out of Jason Hayward, but he's... hitting eighth, right? Yeah. Like, and
the defense is still good with Jason Hayward.
Sure is. And he's still, not a chut at the plate. But, he still hits, right?
He's like below where you want for a guy who plays right field, but he's still a good major league hitter. I should say a solid major league hitter.
Yeah.
But the concern obviously is, are we really doing Tyler Glasnow, Bobby Miller, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Gavin Stone, and James Paxton, like, are those really the five guys who are going to start games here?
Yeah, and I think that's why the stat guys and a lot of the sharps are doing the old classic hold your nose and fading the 104 win team, which has already gone down by a game, in the books, right? Like, the books are given 103 right now, so
I'm gonna do nothing. And they are waiting on some guys to get back. Kershaw, is Buehler going to pitch this year?
We don't know yet. That's a big factor. If we do, he's not coming in until the dog days, right? Kershaw's a little wonky last year though.
Yes. Yeah. But like, if he's your fourth guy, it's fine. The thing about it is, and this is important, if they get to July and they've got a problem with a spot in the rotation, they're gonna fix it.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna get somebody.
Yeah.
Because they always do. And it might be someone who's really good and makes a lot of money.
Yeah. Or with
Buehler's on the 15-day IL. Buehler's gonna pitch this year.
Yeah.
So he's gonna pitch, but the other guy's obviously gonna take a little longer for them to get back. So. I would lean over if I had to do one, but my first suspicion here is just not to do one at all. And typically I would love an under 103. I just, like, there's too many guys who are going to be in the Hall of Fame that are part of this.
Yeah.
And they're in, like, the prime of their careers in a lot of cases. Like, I'll be like, Freeman's a little past his prime, but, like, you know, still good. Just, like, just... I don't know. I'm not down on that.
Yeah, I understand. I'm doing the same thing that the sharps are doing, where it's just you're looking at this rotation, and you're gonna hold your nose and you're gonna fade this rotation. Now maybe Yoshinobu, Yamamoto ends up being a Cy Young Award winner. Like, I've bet money on him to win the Cy Young Award winner. Maybe it doesn't happen, right? Like, maybe. Maybe that was a harbinger, what we saw there. But I'm less inclined to believe that. I'm just saying it could be. But I certainly don't think it was a harbinger. Because, like we said, it was weird. They were in Korea, for God's sake. They played two games that mattered. Them and the Padres played two games that mattered, flew back, had a couple days off, and then started playing spring training games again. Like, that's freaking weird that was a thing that happened. But I get it. You're trying to grow the game overseas and whatnot and create the pipeline and get buzz going, but it is still weird. And then you can't have them play like two games. You can't have them start on the same day, which is this Thursday for everybody, two games in Korea, and then come back and it's like, okay, Dodgers, you played two games in Korea on Thursday, Friday. Now fly to Atlanta and play on Saturday, right? I get that. You can't do that, right? You can't do that, but it's still wild. It's just you're fading this rotation if it's the Dodgers. That's it. Plus, obviously,
And I want to clarify something. I confuse Walker Buehler and Tony Gonsolin in my head. Gonsolin's not going to pitch this year, not likely. Tommy John the end of last year, so that's
yes. Yeah.
But Buehler's going to be out there at some point. But it's still a situation where, oh, okay, we've got forearm trouble in the spring, eh? You don't want that. So
Yeah, exactly. The Jays know all about that right now, Jesus. All right, moving along, we got the Arizona Diamondbacks, who inexplicably participated in the World Series last year, that nobody saw coming, basically with a couple
probably
of nice...
because they won like 84 baseball games during the regular season.
Yeah,
like,
it was...
that many.
Yeah, it was basically it was Zach Gallen and the power of friendship basically got them to the World Series there. Their win total this year 83.5. Craig, quick under for me. This is a quick under for me.
Oh, it's an under.
Yeah.
Like last year, other than like, you know, I know Moreno had a little bit of injury trouble last year, but basically other than that, nearly everything went right. Then everything went really, really right in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then everything went right. Okay, we won 84 games. It's like, really? That's the best it's going to be?
Yeah.
And they didn't really do a ton to make me think that they're going to be a whole lot better as we get into this season.
Yeah, and it wasn't good for the Jays fans there watching the you know, the Jays lose to the Twins, who haven't won a playoff series since, you know, Bush 2 was president or whatever. And then the Jays watch this Diamondbacks team, again, with the power of friendship, go to the World Series on the backs of, like, yeah. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Gabriel Moreno just doing a bunch of cool stuff too, right? That was not fun to watch. But yeah, this is a hard under for me, and quite frankly, they just don't have the pitching, and the lineup is all right. I like their lineup, but I think that what they did last year in the playoffs was just sort of a fluke and a product of this new playoff system that baseball has, which I do kind of like, but definitely opens the door for nonsense like 84 win teams going on runs to the playoffs. Yeah. So yeah,
and that's the thing is, I think that you've got to just like acknowledge that like. When you're betting World Series winners and whatnot, really, like, you can, it's somewhat, like, I'm not going to say predictable, but you can, like, try to handicap a 162-game season. You simply cannot handle the handicap the Major League Baseball postseason anymore. It can't be done. You can guess.
No.
That's all you do.
Yeah, I agree.
That goes for team building. Like, anyone who builds a team that wins, you know, 90-something ball games, you built the team that was in this current situation that we're in our lives, it was good enough to win the World Series. You just needed some breaks in the month of October.
Yeah.
But you built a team that was good enough, because the line between good enough and not good enough is really moved in the last decade or so.
Yeah. The San Francisco Giants, Craig. I was all ready to come on here last week. Like, if we did the NL win totals pod last week, like we said, I would have been nice and happy to come on here and tell you all about how I was going to take the San Francisco Giants over 81.5 games. I've still got them at 81.5 games, but unfortunately for purposes of us making recommendations here, that 81.5 is now gone, Craig, because in the week since we recorded this podcast, the San Francisco Giants went ahead and added Blake Snell to their rotation. So that was one of the big free agents that was out there
looming.
Yeah. So their over on win total is now bumped up two games. They're at 83.5. I still like the over, just not as glorious as I did about the 81.5, where I was all ready to come on here and tell you this is one of my big five that I got a ton of lean on This is, and I do, luckily I got it in at the 81.5, but unfortunately I can't give the same recommendations to dump all of your life savings onto the 83.5 like I was willing to do with the 81.5, but still like this team. They added Jorge Soler, they added Matt Chapman to shore up the defense a little bit, and then went ahead and brought in Blake Snell. So I like this lineup. I like this lineup. Limit 80. Love the 80. Love the over.
It's a lot better baseball team than it was when they reported to spring training. I'm thinking the over too. I think this is a playoff team for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
The Jordan Hicks experiment.
Yeah, he's going to be in the rotation, right? Like we'll see.
Yes. So that's the plan for him. Now, the very worst case with that is you go out and get someone else to be in the rotation. Then you move Hicks to the bullpen, and he throws 100 there. But I we'll see how the Hicks thing goes when we actually get into real-life regular season games. But I'm a little concerned about, are they going to be able to score enough runs? But I think they'll be able to keep enough off the board. And I think they'll look, not dissimilar to last year's Diamondbacks, where it's like, oh, okay, they're going to win 85 games. That's going to be enough to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And they have a guy. They have a couple guys who could potentially come back, like Robbie Ray. I mean, he had the Tommy John last year, and Alex Cobb. Maybe they're hoping that Hicks can just kind of tread water till those guys get back. Yeah. One of those guys gets back, maybe. Either way, I really like this lineup. I don't mind the rotation, especially now that they added Blake Snell. But I we'll see how the Jordan Hicks thing goes. But I like him over for me.
I like the over two. I think they'll have ways to keep you from scoring runs.
All right. Now the San Diego Padres. They've lost some dudes. Now Tatis looks like he's healthy and ready to start the season after a couple of injury plagued seasons. There, the Padres are sitting at 83.5 as well. As much as I like this San Diego team, they got some names. They just perennially underachieve, and I'm picking this year to be no exception. I'm going under on the 83.5 for San Diego. The rotation to me is getting really long in the tooth, and you lose I'm blanking on his name to the Yankees. Juan Soto. You lose Juan Soto, right? You still got Tatis, who's
they go out and go get Dylan Cease though.
Yeah, I do like Dylan Cease. Yeah, it is. But, still got Darvish and Musgrove in front of him, who are solid guys, somewhat long in the tooth. But,
obviously, Darvish is going to turn 38 during the year.
Yeah.
If you're doing Darvish, Musgrove, Cease, Michael King, and then, He came over
and...
Yeah, he came over in the...
Speaking of testing guys out in the rotation, right?
Yeah, there you go. And now the Yankees did that at the end of last year, and he had some very good starts. A couple of them were against the Jays. He was very good.
Yeah.
We'll see how that continues to go. I think that's a legit rotation. I kind of like the over for this team.
All right.
Soto's gone. That sucks. But, maybe Machado's still on this team. Tatis is still on this team. There's, I suspect that Bogaerts is not going to be as bad as he was last year, because last year he was not very good. I suspect he'll be better. I think that this is an over team for me.
All right. Okay, so we disagree on the San Diego Padres. You're going over, I'm going under on the 83. They just, I don't know, every year Tatis gets hurt and they somehow underachieve, right? I don't get it.
Now,
maybe
one of the
it's...
years that Tatis missed a lot of time was because he was suspended for performance-enhancing drugs.
True.
I don't think that's going to happen this year, but
we will hope that it doesn't. All right, final team in this NL West here is the Colorado Rockies. Scrolling down. Most of the books are giving Colorado out at 60.5. There's some 59s out there. There's a couple of 59s out there, and I'm going over, Craig. I'm
going over too. It's just the number's too low.
It's too low, right? Especially if there's some 59s out there now.
That, Yeah, yeah. So, and like, here's the thing, and I understand that, you know, if you hit in this environment, you have to pick in this environment too. But will like, just by virtue of playing half their games in Coors Field, will they play enough of those weirdo, it's 11 to 10 games that they just go ass backwards into winning 61? Like,
yeah.
You know, if it was 65, I would take the under. But if, like, you just need to win 60, like, and at some places, like you said, you only need them to win 60 to win the bet. 60's not that many.
No, it's a hold your nose and go to the over. Pat, classic 60-60 rule. I should have brought that up with the Dodgers. That's another reason why you want to go under on them, cause, just because of the 60-60 rule. And, again, the fact that only one team in the history of the game has ever gone over on a win total of 100-plus. So that's an exception rather than the rule. So, but, man, you, like, it is not going to be – this is one of the all-time hold your nose and take the over, because I'm staring at this rotation, Craig. Forget 200 strikeout guys. They might not have a single 100 strikeout guy in this rotation. Like, this is ferocious. They don't have a single guy. Like, they all might have ERAs over 5. Like, this is oof.
Well, that's what FanGraphs has the entire rotation projected as ERAs.
Oh my god. Are you kidding me?
FanGraphs factors in the fact that that your happier starts are going to be
true. Yeah, they do factor that stuff in.
Yeah, also, you know, they've got also a entire starting lineup almost projected to hit 270 or better. Again, that's projecting in that your opponents will also be hitting 270 or better.
yeah,
like
it's a bad rotation.
It's a bad baseball team, but yeah. You can be a bad baseball team to win 62 times.
Yeah, that's just how it is. That's how the game works most of the time. We're the Crossover Podcast, classically invoking the 60-60 rule and hold your nose and take the over on 15. Shop around too, because take the over on the 60.5 too, because that's still too low. But if you shop around, you can probably find some 59.5 too. All right, let us head to the, I believe we're going to head to the National League East next. Yeah, let's go ahead and head to the National League East. And let's start it off with the team that I think might be the best team in baseball. I know a lot of teams are going to say the Los Angeles Dodgers, but this is another team projected to win over 100 wins. This is the Atlanta Braves, who are projected to win 101.5 baseball games. I badly need this to, I need this team to play the Dodgers, right? Like, we can't, like, I don't know, in a 7-game series too, not in a best of 5. Like, let's hopefully get them in a divisional round or something, so it's best of 7. Rotation, great. I mean, they get to take a flyer on Chris Sale as like the fifth guy in the rotation, for God's sake. Acuna Jr. is just an awesome player. Look, they're rolling the dice on your boy Jared Kelenic too, Craig. It's just a great rotation. Bullpen, probably the best in baseball. I say all this and more to say I'm going under on their 101, Craig, because it's too many.
Really?
It's too many once again. It's too many. I've never seen a team with a 100 win total and thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the over. This team, I think, is more likely to burn me than the Dodgers, but just because they have the pitching. But I can't do it. I'm going to hold my nose and go under getting plus money on the Atlanta Braves, who could win 99 games and I could still win this bet.
Another one where they could have the best record of the National League and you could lose your bet. That is possible.
Yeah. That's just the way it works. Yeah.
I'm leaning to. Just because, I know that, like, some people have said, okay, Chris Sale kind of looks all right in the spring here.
Yeah.
So the results are mixed, but he looks all right, and that's good. And, you know, I don't think anyone's expecting him to be, you know, prime Chris Sale at age 35. But, you know, these are 4 starting, not bad. Rotation is a little older.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Morton's 40. You know,
yeah,
rotation a little older beyond Spencer Strider, of course, who's 25 and awesome. But, so maybe, you know, you're concerned about some issues there as far as maybe some injuries, but they've got some prospect depth and they've got some guys who are around that might be able to help them out. I think that, this is a really well-run baseball team, and the Toronto Blue Jays should try to find a way to hire whoever built it to be their general.
Jeez, so brutal. This rotation doesn't walk anybody either. Like even Morton's the only guy who you know occasionally walked. There's no free bases with this team. This is a tough rotation, and a deep lineup. Yeah, so I understand. So my official recommendation is, again, I'm invoking the 60-60 rule, and I'm going under on the 105, even though this and I don't want to get aggregated by Braves fans thinking I think this team is a piece of shit. I just obviously think that they're a very good baseball team. But again, if you win 99, if you win 100 baseball games, I still win my under bet. So there's that.
Again, the Braves have home field advantage the entire major league playoffs, and you could lose your bet. That is an outcome here with this line. That is an outcome.
Knife to your head, knife to your ribs. Are you going over under on the Atlanta Braves?
I'm going under just because I'm a little bit worried about the back portion of the rotation and what they're going to get there. Plus, again, 101 is a lot to ask.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right. Let's head up a little further north of Georgia to Philadelphia and check on what the Phillies are doing. The Phillies over-under is 89.5. It's opened up that way. It's pretty much stayed there the entire time. I like the under for the Phillies on the 89.5. I think they're going to be tough to win 90 games. I was under on them last year, and they burned me on the very last day of the season. So that was one that the prognosticators and the books got precisely right on this team. I mean, it's a good team. It's a good baseball team. They're back again. I prefer, if I'm going to bet the Phillies, I prefer to bet like their win the division numbers instead of their over, right? Like I'd rather bet they. I like the totals for winning the division. I like them to maybe win the National League in the playoffs. Maybe be the team that represents the National League in the World Series. And I even kind of like their World Series numbers. All that is to say that I'm still taking the under 89.5 just because I think that number is a little bit high. And once you get past Aaron Nola in this rotation, it is a little suspect. So, but we'll see how that goes. So under for me on the Philadelphia Phillies. Also, we don't know how this bullpen is going to perform either. And like last year, they were using Craig Kimball to close a lot of games. So we'll see what this new.
They've renovated a little bit, but again, that's the easiest spot to fix. I think this is the third best team in the National League.
I think I agree. I'm still taking the under 90 wins, but I think I agree with you there, Craig.
No, I think this is the third best team in the National League. That if they were in the Central, I'd feel very, very good about them winning 90-something ball games. Feel a little less good about that in the East. I'm not going to bet money on this, but if I had to, I would say that I'm going to say that they are going to be an under team. You wonder about the defense and if that, you know, burns you for a couple runs here or there. And I suspect you meant to say the rotation beyond Wheeler and Nola.
I said that because in my head, Wheeler's first and Nola's second, right? Yeah. You're right.
We're not sure exactly how that's going to go. Both those guys are very, very rich men, the two I just named. so we're not sure. We'll see. But I'm interested. And I will say this, too, is they have added some guys that might be able to help out the defense a little bit in Merrifield coming over from the Blue Jays.
Yeah, he was fun left for the Jays.
Yeah. And, like, here's the thing. He's not, like, an elite all-world defender anymore, but he can play multiple spots and give you some flexibility. We'll see. I think that this is a good team, though, and I think that I'd be heavily investing in them to make the playoffs, but they could easily do that and win 88 games. So I lean towards the under, but it's kind of a stay away for me.
Yeah, it's going to be playoff futures for me with this team and unders in the regular season. So basically what I did last year, fade them in the regular season, and then when they get the playoffs, go Phillies for Matt Pierce. Miami Marlins, a team that we're usually friskier on than most places, I think, Craig. 77.5, they've opened up there. They're still sitting at 77.5. Yeah, 77.5. There's a couple 78. Well, actually, there's a couple 78s and some 76s out there. I'm going
I like the
under.
over.
You do. I'm
Oh,
going
I
under.
like the
I'm going
over.
under. They're too injured. They're too injured. And they're too injured to start the
Yeah.
season. And that is without the Jazz Chisholm Jr. injury that occurs every single friggin' season, too, right? So, I don't
So
know. And
Conley being hurt is obviously a problem.
Yeah.
And I've like we're not going to see him this year.
No. God,
that's,
he was so
that's an
fun to
issue.
watch play ball.
He's really, but you know we're going to trot out Lizardo, nice, really good player. You know, the rest of the rotation, question marks. But I think they might score enough that they can get into the you know the high 70s, low 80s.
Okay.
We'll see. And in a division where, you know, obviously the Braves and the Phillies are the class of the division, but there's a couple of teams that are not very good that are going to be behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, do we see a rebound year from Tim Anderson, maybe?
I hope so. I want Tim Anderson to be good at baseball again. He was so much
yeah,
more
so
fun to watch. Yeah, but I don't know
so
if...
I think they've made some all right bets this offseason.
Yeah.
Like you're right. You know, there's no reason to not be concerned about the number of dudes who are not around because they're hurt. But yeah, I think they might be able to score enough runs to be okay.
All right, I like that you're optimistic on the Marlins because I want this team to be good because they just got a lot of fun guys.
I'll take the under on playoff appearances.
Yeah,
I'll take the over on 6 wins.
All right, so you're going over on 77.5. I'm going under on 77.5.
Not by over, but not by a lot. Like they're a sub 500 team, but they'll score enough to beat that over.
And they got a lot of guys I love. Like I love Luis Arraez. I love Jazz Chisholm, but he always gets hurt. And Tim Anderson, I want to be great again. I've weirdly had a thing for. I mean, Jake Berger, great name, right? Great name. Like and Lizardo and just Alcantara not being there is just like you said. It's bad. It's bad for baseball. He was so awesome. So I'm going under on the Miami Marlins and you're going over, even though it pains me to go under on this because I'm pretty sure I had them over last year and they got there and it was great to watch. Next up, the 9 Mets, who are my favorite squadron. They are clocking in at, I believe it's the same. Let me just see if it's changed here. Where are you hanging out there, Mets? Yeah, it moved a little. If we'd have done this last week, they opened up at 80.5. And now they're at 81.5. You know, a few little signings here. They bring in Severino. They bring in Manaea.
Harrison Bader.
Yeah, they bring in Bader. It's you know they've moved some stuff around. Edwin Diaz is back this year, which you'd think changes things. If you guys are not, I still like
but
this
like,
lineup.
Let's just get cut right to the chase.
Yeah.
The rotation is Jose Quintana, Luis Severino, Tyler McGill, Adrian Hauk.
It's a rotation it's a rotation of has-beens and never-wases and whatnot. But I gotta tell you, I'm taking the over 80.5 on the Mets. I feel like you did about with Miami, where I'm taking the over, but this is not a they're going to wildly exceed this over to me. To me, this is a exactly 500 ball team. So I think they get over this by just a game or two, and it's not going to be fun, and it's going to be a grind.
I'm thinking like this is like a 75 win team. I'm taking the under, but I don't love it. But
it's okay.
Like right in the neighborhood.
Okay, so we kind of seem to have we're kind of in the same thoughts on the Mets. It's just I'm a bit more optimistic in your. A bit more pessimistic, basically the inverse. So we had to find an over. Basically, we had to find an over.
Going
to
start throwing apparently soon. So like,
okay,
again,
yeah, that helps a little bit.
Good,
we had to find an over because I think I had this conversation with you last week that I was staring at all of the NL East totals and being like, why do I want to bet the under on all of these teams? Because I'll tell you, spoiler alert, I'm taking the under on the Washington Nationals. So you had to find an over in there somewhere, be it the Mets or the Marlins, right? Because you're probably not going over on Atlanta. It's tough to go over on the 90 with the Phillies.
See, for
so
me,
you
it's
got...
the Phillies. Like I lean under with the Phillies, but I think they're the third best team you know. So
yeah, if that's we'll the team see. That's gonna get yeah, if that's the team that's gonna that that's
if
gonna
you
clip
have to take an over
yeah.
in the NL East, I think that's the one.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah, that said, we're
that's
gonna go
it.
Ahead and do it with the Mets and
Washington line right now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll move over. Mets, I'm going over. Craig's going under. Washington Nationals, we're moving to. Over-under has stayed the same. It opened up at 66.5. It has stayed at 66.5. I am going wildly under. This is, I'm glad it's up to 66.5 because that way I don't have to invoke the 60-60 rule. This to me has, like, the fact that there's 66.5 and there's three teams that are worse, that have worse win totals opening up than them is wild. This is a bad, bad baseball team. They could be, they could end up with fewer wins than any of the other, than any of the other teams in the, like, this could be the team that wins the least in this major league. This is a bad, bad, bad baseball team. I'm going on probably not less than Oakland, probably not overall, but could they win less
than,
could
be the worst roster that, like, they could definitely win less than the Rockies, therefore maybe the worst team in the NL. Definitely on the table.
Yeah, probably not worse than Oakland, though, unless Oakland plays with that FU energy, right? we'll see. But yeah, I just don't see. This is a bad team. I'm going under on the 66.5. That's all I'm saying. What say you? 66.5 with Washington.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way too, if only because, like, you know, when I was looking at the roster originally, I'm like, okay, what's this going to be? 61, 62? Like, I kind of feel like you're giving up an extra few games if you're taking the over. So, under for me.
All right. Okay, so that moves us into the third and final division, which is the National League Central, starting with the Milwaukee Brewers, who have a over-under win total of 70. They opened up at 77.5. It is now 76.5. I like the over on the 76.5, Craig. I think this market has... I think this market has just soured on them too far with the loss of Corbin Burns, right? Like, I just think the pendulum swung too far the other way.
It's Corbin Burns not being around and Brandon Woodruff having shoulder surgery.
True. That's fair.
That's two big problems, right?
Yeah.
But you're right that I think that the negativity here has gone a little too far on them.
Like, this is still a good lineup, right? Like, they're still going to hit.
This team could easily win. Like, the NL Central sucks, but this team could win it.
Yeah. Like, why not, right?
Yep. Like, this team could for sure win the NL Central. So, yeah, I'll take the over.
All right. Yeah, all right. So we're going over on 76.5 with the Milwaukee Brewers. Next up, we're going to go to St. Louis and talk about the Cardinals. The Cardinals are going off at 84.5. There's been a little bit of movement. There's some 85 still out there. They opened up at 85.5. I like the under on the 85.5 for the St. Louis.
So do I.
Like, this is, like, I'm just staring at that rotation, and I've used the phrase long in the tooth a couple of times during this podcast. This is an old rotation, boy. Like, oh, boy. This is some not good stuff here, right? Like, basically, they got their first rounder in Zach Thompson, where we're going to find out what's what, right? And other than that, you know, they're bringing in, you know, they got Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, and I don't like the bullpen either. The lineup is pretty good. I'm finding hard to fully dump on the lineup. I mean, there's spots here and there that obviously you would like to be better, but I'm not going to sit here and purely dump on the lineup. But to ask this team and that old rotation and that kind of weak bullpen to win over 86 games doesn't make sense to me. Going under on the 85.5,
this is one that is carved out of reputation, I think.
Yes.
The Cardinals, so we're going to fix.
That's a great way of putting it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. If this exact same roster was being employed by the Pirates, this line's probably like 81 or 82.
I agree. I completely agree. All right. Moving on from the St. Louis Cardinals, we're going to head into Chicago to talk about the Cubs. And the Cubs are currently going off at they open up at 84.5. You can find some 85s and some 83s out there, too. I'm going under on the Cubs 84.5, Craig. I like the trajectory. I like the trajectory that they're on. I think this is 1 year too early with the 85. The only thing that gives me pause is this is a team that could make an ad at the deadline that would make me go, oh, shit, that's in a little bit of trouble now, right? Like, that's about it. I just stare at this rotation and I go, it's not very scary. And we'll see what Shota Imanga. I don't know how to pronounce his name. We'll see what that guy does. But who's not getting a lot of press because Yamamoto's in this year as well. But it's a good lineup. It's a good lineup. I really like the lineup. But this is a tough under for me. But I'm going under because I think this team's a year away from really doing some damage. What say you on the Cubs 84.5?
Who do you think is going to win this division?
I don't want to spoil it, but I think it's going to be the Cincinnati Reds, Craig.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the
Cincinnati. You can make some money if that's how you feel. Was it plus 400?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Cincinnati Reds, and I'm on the Reds over 82.5.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that, like, the Cubs are, I think they're plus 205. I think that the Cubs division odds are at least, this division sucks, to be clear.
Yeah.
The Cubs division odds are at least, like, you know, something.
Especially if you're, it's not bad. Now that you say it out loud, I'm probably going to play some units on them to win the division as well, getting the plus money like that. And like I said, and as a good way to kind of get back on... what I think, because I think this team will be in the thick of it, and then they'll add at the deadline, and then I'll hate myself for betting they're under. I think that's the most likely scenario for me, but it is what it is, because I'm staring at the numbers that I have, and I'm thinking this is a team that is gonna underperform this year a little bit.
Yeah, when we talk about the Pirates are plus 1,300. Well, we'll talk about that when we talk about the Pirates, but
yeah,
just in like a division with five bad teams. And you're getting plus 1,300 on one of them, and I don't think that they're that different. Anyway, we'll talk about it when we get to the Pirates. But
yeah.
I think that I might, if like the odds that you're getting aren't determining it, I think I might bet the Cubs to win the division.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Just from the perspective of, you know, they've got guys coming. Is the other thing, like, at some point this year, like, we're probably going to see Pete Crow Armstrong, you would think. Like, that's what you talked about in Chicago. And yeah,
God,
so,
that's a dope name. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me...
I love it. You're going over on the Cubs, 84.5?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so we disagree on a couple on this one, but I don't think we're going to disagree on this next two, Craig. The Pittsburgh Pirates. No. 74.5. There's some. They open up at 74.5. They're now sitting at 75.5, and you can find some 76s. I had three. There's three totals I think I locked in on. One was the Baltimore under. One was the San Francisco Giants over, and that was even before the Blake Snell trade, so that's dope. And this is the third one. The Pittsburgh Pirates over 74.5 wins. I like this baseball team.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I think they're going to wildly exceed this 74 wins. I see them as like maybe even getting above 500. This is a damn good team, and I like what you were kicking earlier.
The plus 12, plus 1300, depending on where you go.
In
this lousy division, that's worth a look, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree. I absolutely think I agree. Now, the rotation, it's a lot of, there's a lot of nibble in this rotation, if we're being honest. You got Martin Perez and Marco Gunson.
Like, you're hoping, like, outside of Keller, you're doing a lot of hoping on, like, you know, four out of 5 days. I understand that. I just don't think that there's a ton of great stuff about this team, about the other teams in this division. In front of that, like, you know, the days when they get into the 8th and 9th and they're ahead.
Yeah.
Ednar and Chapman.
That's yeah.
Not bad.
Not yeah.
Bad. Even though
those
I know
are two premier
36,
arms.
But Chapman's 36, but he still can get dudes out.
He just won a freaking World Series, right? So, like.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, like I said.
Instagram.
Yeah. Wild.
Don't think
yeah.
About it.
No, a lot of nibble in this rotation, though. God damn it. There's a lot of nibble in this rotation. Like, Martin Perez, like, I've had both Martin Perez and Marco Gonzalez on my AL fantasy teams when they were playing with, like, Texas and Seattle. And, man, like, they get to those six innings for the quality start, but it is a grind, like a G-R-I-N-D grind. Yeah, that's true. A lot of floaters, though, so we'll see how that works in Pittsburgh. For my money, the best ballpark in baseball is PNC Park. Is it still called PNC? We've both been there. Gorgeous. Gorgeous ballpark. Absolutely gorgeous.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah, this is another team that has guys coming too.
Yes, yes. And, like, O'Neill Cruz is just dope. McCutcheon is finally back where he should be. Should have left the Pirates. It was a shame we had to watch him, as great as he is. It's a shame. Obviously, he's a little bit past his prime, but, like, it's a shame that we had to see him wearing anything other than the black and gold, quite frankly. Even as guys who are just complete outside viewers of the Pittsburgh Pirates experience. But so you're going over on the 74.5. This is a big crossover podcast one here. We're going over on the 74.5 for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah. And think about the division.
Yes, and I'm gonna do it. That's one of those, like, it's not a long shot, but it's a fun long shot that you can have is their division total. Because, like, again, why couldn't they win? Like, it might take 82 wins to win this division.
Yeah. Someone who's not good is going to win this division. Why couldn't it be Pittsburgh?
Yeah, why the hell not? Now, this is the team I think it's going to be, and I do have some of their division totals to win it. The last team that we will be talking about in the 2024 baseball season is the Cincinnati Reds, who are clocked in at 82.5, and there's some 81s out there. But I am going over on the Cincinnati Reds. I was over on them last year. I know that... the stat guys are saying that De La Cruz wasn't as great at the plate as he could. Like, the plate discipline might not be there for De La Cruz. I don't care, right? Like, it's a fun baseball team. This is another team that, like the last two teams that we've talked about, they have guys coming. And unlike the couple of teams that, unlike the last two teams that we talked about, unlike with the Pirates, I really like this rotation. Frankie Montas is due for a breakout year. Hunter Green is great. I'm ready. And they've got guys they can call up if need be. And this is a team that could also, weirdly, because you don't say this about the Cincinnati Reds all that often, they could make a trade if they need to, Craig. This could be a team that's in the mix at the deadline and then all of a sudden makes a little trade. So I'm all over the Cincinnati Reds over 81.5. And I think this division is weirdly going to be more competitive than we think it's going to be. And that might be virtue of the fact that how mid to bad the entire division is, top to bottom overall. But still, it should be a lot of fun.
I agree.
Come September.
There's like some hope for the youth in the rotation, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
With Green and Andrew Abbott. And then obviously there's some hope that you get some of these other guys back that are hurt. Nick Lodolo. We'll see. I like the over two. I think they'll find enough ways to make some to win ball games here and be all right. So I'm taking over. I think the lineup, there's a lot of fun guys on this team. So I'm taking the over.
Yeah, they're not the plate discipline all-stars is the only thing that the stat guys. Yeah, is the thing. Yeah, that's the thing that the stat guys would warn us about. That'd be like, just maybe take a look at those peripherals, right? And you're like, I get that. I still think that stuff's real. Yeah, and you mentioned Lodolo, who the thing you like about his injury, even though you never want to see your guys injured, is that his was in the leg, right, and not the arm. So yeah, you hope that he can get back somewhat quickly, even though you don't hear about stress reactions too often, right? Like, those are the things that get kind of scary. Okay, so that is it, Craig. Let's pick a division winner for each. Who you got winning the NL? We're here in the Central. Why don't we go ahead and pick the Central?
I'm gonna pick the Cubs.
Okay.
But I don't love it. I think that any like. there's a scenario where all five of these teams win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Reds. I'm going to say the Cincinnati Reds win the NL Central. NL East, I'm just going to go ahead and say that the Atlanta Braves win the NL East. Do you have a dissenting opinion on that one?
I do not. I think that's the way this is.
Yeah, and at West, Dodgers, right? Like, we're not messing around with the West.
Yeah, nope.
Yeah, so the West and the East still have two clear winners, and then the Central. Maybe a little mix up. Yeah.
My only hope for this National League season is I want a Dodgers Braves NLCS. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't ask for a lot.
Yeah.
Let me just watch 7 games of that this October. That's all I want.
That'd be so sweet. Who do you have? Yeah, so we're gonna go ahead and root for that. Who do you have representing the National League in the World Series?
I'm gonna say the Atlanta Braves.
Me too. Yeah, the Atlanta Braves for me as well. I think they get the Dodgers in the NCLS, and I think they maybe beat them in 6 or 7. But I think it's a damn good series. That's what I'm going to hope for instead of – who did we get last year? Was the Diamondbacks and the – it wasn't even the Braves, right? Like because the Dodgers got knocked out early. It was the Phillies. It was the Phillies because I had Phillies futures. Like, okay,
if it's Phillies Dodgers, that's fine.
Yeah.
If it's Phillies Braves, the bracket breaks a certain way, that's fine. Mm-hmm. There's no junky 82 win team getting to the NLCS, please. But like, I know that as I say that out loud right now, that's exactly how this is going to go.
Yeah. It'll be like Giants versus I don't know.
That mediocre Diamondbacks team swept the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Like that tells you everything you need to know about the roulette wheel known as the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yeah, it's gonna end up being like the Giants, the Twins. You know, that'll be the World Series we get this year.
That's your World Series. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean it could be, right? Like those two teams are probably gonna make the playoffs, right?
It could be. It could be. And like, hey, maybe. Well, there's no maybe about it. Obviously, the people at Major League Baseball decided they want it that way. But
yeah.
I think that there's diminished turns on that from the perspective of you're trying to sell 162 ball games, and what you've done is made it so the teams that are good, those ones in September mean less.
Yeah.
The teams that are mid, the ones in September mean more, and the teams that are good, the ones in September mean less. That's what you've done. Again, I think they are well aware that that's what they've done, and they're fine with it. And I understand the argument why that's how it's gone, but just like let's be honest about what has occurred here.
Yeah, and I like that because you see the same thing in hockey, and I know we're a Canadian podcast, so I don't like to turn this, but obviously hockey is having the conversations about doing the play-in game like the NBA, which is just it just doesn't work in hockey like it does in basketball, right? Like that just because like in basketball a goalie in hockey you want to go to a one game wild card where a goalie could get hot, right?
And like, Gary Bettman has made no secret about the fact that he feels exactly the same way you do about this. He hates the idea.
Openly
despises it.
Yeah.
And he mentions that at every turn. And I'll tell you this. I'm not a fan of Gary Bettman, obviously. But I will acknowledge that when the guy says something like that about managing the league, not like he lies all the time, but when he says something about like things that he's firmly in control in, i.e. the number of playoff teams, or like stuff like that, like competitive balance issues, he's typically not bullshitting. Like
that's
he bullshits
true. Yeah.
If we're talking about head injuries. He bullshits if we're talking about the Arizona Coyotes. He bullshits if we're talking about, you know, how much money players are making and things like that. But when it comes to competitive stuff, he's typically not bullshitting. And I
that's
think
true.
That when he says, I hate this, like he's not saying that for show. He's saying that because he means it.
Yeah. And I haven't heard... Yeah, I haven't heard one good argument for it. I haven't heard one argument in the play in favor other than money, like which I get.
No, I'll
like,
give you one right now. I'll give you one right now. Right now, what's the difference between finishing in a wild card spot and finishing third in your division?
Oh yeah, well that has less to do with a play in game and more to do with the bass ackwards. Playoff seeding we have right now, right?
Let's say we're doing 1-8 in each conference.
Okay.
What's the difference between finishing 6th and 7th right now in this moment?
Obviously it depends. You play 2 or 3, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Almost nothing. Mm-hmm. You do this, and the difference is fucking massive. Clearly.
Yeah, that's true. So, but I don't care about. I don't care about making it
better teams for not having to place their chips on the one game roulette.
Mm-hmm. I guess, but I just don't get why we're. I don't get this mentality of we need to make.
Again, I'm not advocating for this necessarily. I'm just. Yeah. That was
hockey, yeah. Yeah. Fair. Fair.
There's
yeah.
Enough time left in the playoffs for the most part. Like there's still some bad teams that go on runs, obviously. But mm-hmm. most years you're going to separate the wheat from the chaff as you get through the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but...
Well, the Panthers last year. The Panthers were a good team last year that couldn't get any saves. All of a sudden, they started getting saves, and poof, they're really good, right?
Like, yeah, that's a exactly.
Mm-hmm. But, well, the 21 Canadians, obviously, is the best argument for crappy teams going on a run. But that doesn't happen.
But again,
often.
that was a goaltender again carrying a
yeah.
But again, you shouldn't be giving the mid teams that have a goaltender a shot to get hot, right?
No,
and with crappy hockey.
And people have been talking about it this week. The Eastern Conference playoff race that we've seen.
Oh, it's garbage.
Here is exactly why you don't want to do this. Which is wait a minute, like. There are six good teams in the East this year.
Yeah.
Why are we expanding the playoff field to 10?
Yeah, yeah, like because yeah,
there are what? There are nine good teams.
Yeah.
Like, do we like? I don't know. Is St. Louis good?
Nah.
Okay, then they're
nah.
eight.
Well, I'm being harsh. I mean, obviously, they're a good team. They're a good team. But like, if they missed the playoffs, we're not like being robbed of anything. If the 2024 St. Louis Blues miss the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah. I just think that like if you're arguing in favor of expanding the playoff, this is the tough year to make that argument.
Yeah, because like in the East, right now it's bad because like it looks like two of the Capitals, Red Wings, and Flyers are going to the playoffs, right? Two of those three teams are going to the playoffs, and then you're talking about all three of those teams are. Horror awful, to quote Shaq.
And then you're adding the Islanders in?
And then you're trying to add the Islanders, and then who's the fifth team that's sort of in the mix there that I can't remember, because they're not worth remembering, quite frankly. The Devils, I think, are sort of fringy
matter.
There.
Whatever it is, it's basically out of it, but it would not be a fun one. Last year, mm-hmm. when this exact same conversation was going on, there was Florida, Buffalo, the Islanders, and the Penguins all finishing within 2 points of one another, and only two of those teams were going to get in. You're like, okay, let's sentence the four of you to duke it out in a one-game playoff situation. I'm okay with mm-hmm. that. But when you're doing this, though, you sign up for doing it every year. Because we go back to the year before in the Eastern Conference. The team that finished in the wild card two slot was the Washington Capitals, 100 points. The team that finished in the ninth slot in the East, New York Islanders, 84 points. Like, are we really going to make that 100-point Capitals team, which was a decent team? Like, they didn't put much of a fight up against Florida, but are we going
to
make that 100?
Actually, no. If you remember that series against Florida, they lost to Florida in six, and the Capitals blew like two games in that series. They should have. They probably should have beat Florida that year.
Like they had some games like. You know, they took their. It felt like they took their foot off the gas a couple of times.
Yeah,
but fair enough that they made Florida earn it. That's.
They should have beat Florida. They pissed away games two and three in that series. I remember that. They probably should have beat Florida, and I remember thinking they would because that was that Florida team that was like a paper tiger President's Trophy winner, right? Like they were a little, because they got worked by Tampa in round two, right? And probably should have lost to the Capitals.
Either way.
That Islanders team in the same year, right?
Like two of the last 3 years are pretty good examples for why we shouldn't do this. When there's a 16-point differential between 8 and 9, like, we know who 8 is, we know who 9 is. We don't need to play around with silly games to figure it out. And again, that's how Gary Bettman.
Yeah, and I just, like,
I am sympathetic to the argument of we should make finishing in the top 6 more valuable than finishing in the
Fair.
Top 8.
But I'll be honest.
I understand. Like, that part is a worthy conversation. I think overall, the commissioner hates it. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, broken clock, I guess, with Gary. Just because I haven't heard, like, and I listen to a lot of NHL podcasts. I listen to the 32 Thoughts and whatnot and a bunch of other ones. You're the first person I've heard made a cogent argument about why we should do this that wasn't just money with a bullet, right? Like, yeah. And I'm like, I get it. You guys are all greedy. You all want more money.
I don't understand why people aren't making that argument, because that was the argument in the NBA, was like, okay, mm-hmm. like, you know, there's the cash element of this, of course. Yeah. But, like, in the Western Conference in the NBA right now, there's one hell of a race for six between Sacramento, yeah. Phoenix, and Dallas. And they don't want to be sixth. For all these reasons, they don't want to be in the play-in. So,
yeah.
Like, if in a regular, in, like, the old playoff format, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Dallas would probably not give a shit
mm-hmm.
who finished sixth, seventh, or eighth. They wouldn't care.
Yeah.
Now they very much care. So that means there are more meaningful games down the stretch.
I get that argument, but also at the same time, I'm like, why are we worried about what the sixth and seventh seeds have going on, right? Like, and in basketball, it's a little bit different, because even in one game, obviously guys can go off in one game, but, like, the cream is going to rise to the top more often in basketball than it's not, right? Like,
sure, and I agree with that.
Whereas in hockey, right?
I, it's not so much that I'm worried about what six or seven has going on. I just like the idea of at the end mm-hmm. of the year, we're adding more meaning to the games. So and seeding is more relevant.
Yes.
I like that from an interest perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, there are going to be big games that happen in the NBA in April that in a standard 1-8 playoff format would be borderline meaningless. And instead, they're going to be huge games. Again, you can argue that there are games that would have been huge as far as finishing eighth or ninth that now become less important. Like, there's still a dividing line between eight and nine, but the dividing line between eight and nine is less important than it used to be. So you could argue that there are some games where the importance is diminished, but overall, I think the NBA is better off this way. I don't know if I feel that way about how it would shake down in the NHL, and we've already discussed a few of the reasons why. I love the idea of making it more important to finish sixth and seventh. I think that's great. But do we really have 10 NHL teams in a given year that we want to be part of the playoff situation?
Nope.
Probably not.
No, not with the hard cap. And also, just like, there's also
that's actually a bit, that's a good point by you on the hard cap, is that based on, you know, getting deals on contracts and things along those lines, that kind of does concentrate a little bit of the talent, or at least spread out a little bit of the talent. And it is kind of easier to, I think, some ways, because of the hard cap, to determine who was the more worthy regular season team. The NBA is just a different game with different mm-hmm. roster building and different ways to earn results.
Yeah, it's like the two sports incomparable. And then there's also the thing where hockey's a full contact sport. We just had Chris Simon take his own life, for God's sake, because of the head trauma stuff that he suffered as a knuckle duster, right?
Hey, we're going to expand the playoffs. You say, that's cool. You're chopping these six games off regular season.
That would have to be it for me, because, like, I'm not looking to add more games to these guys, right? Like, if it were up to me, ultimately, as a person who, you know, like, if they put me in charge of the NHL right now, my first order of business would be to chop 6 to 10 games off the schedule, and then they would come up to me, you know, then the rich white dudes in suits would come up to me and go, but Matt, we're going to lose a ton of money, and I would go, I don't. I would do my best Tommy Lee Jones in the Fugitive impression to go, I don't care, because these guys are, like I said, Chris Simon, may rest in peace, finally, I guess, won a cup in 1996 with my Colorado Avalanche, took his own life recently because of this stuff, and we've still got guys putting their head in the sand, right? Like,
yeah,
and this is philosophical, true, but adding more games is not going to help lessen the head trauma, is all I'm saying.
No, it certainly won't. I will say this. It doesn't take a genius. Like, in the NFL, the whole CTE thing happens to basically nearly any of these guys.
Yeah.
We're talking about hockey. It doesn't take a brilliant mind to figure out which guys this is getting.
Yeah, the knuckle dusters who had to fight 40 times a season.
And there are a lot less of those guys now.
It's true. It's true.
Than there used to be. So I think that 20 years from now, when the guys who were playing pro hockey, I'm not saying no one's going to have CTE, but the bad cases, I don't think we'll see it as much, just because the guys who like fought as many times as Chris Simon did, or as Bob Probert did, or as Wade Belak did, these are the guys
who lost
their lives early.
Yeah. Bugard.
Yeah, Derek Bugard, Rick Rippon. Like, you know, the fact that I can name that many off the top of my
head. The fact we just riffled off seven names is gross,
without even
right?
About it. There are others.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there aren't as many guys who have that role anymore. In fact, it's almost extinct. Because even your Nick Deloriers and your Ryan Reeves and things along those lines, those
Curtis
guys still
McDermott,
fight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but they don't fight every game like those guys used to.
Yeah,
multiple times
that's true.
A game, maybe, like those guys used to. That just isn't what happens anymore.
Yeah, you're right. The sport is getting away from that, thank God. But still, like, I'm not. We're still seeing guys get smashed into the boards pretty regularly, right? Like,
yeah. And look, do I want more games on these guys' odometers? Absolutely not. That's why I'm saying, PA, if the NHL wants this that bad, I don't think they do. But if that's something they come to you with, say, okay, that's cool. You're going to be making this much more off TV and this much more off the gate for those games. You're getting this many more playoff games. That's cool. You're going to drop off six regular season games for us.
Yeah.
And I will say this. You mentioned that, okay, you're going to make your money back, blah, blah, blah. The people over at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, Jeff Molson, the Dolan family in New York, if you say to them, hey, we're chopping off, you know, three regular season games from gate, it's going to be 39 instead of 42. Or, sorry, it's 38 instead of 41. They'll say, you know, we can bump prices here, do this, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Your Carolinas and your Floridas.
Your Arizona.
They may not be able to figure out that. So there would be some dissension, I think, in the ranks amongst ownership if this became an actual thing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It's crazy. And, like, the NFL is already talking. They're already – the wheels are already turning for them to make it an 18-game schedule, right? Like, we're already on our way to that. That'll likely happen in the next 4 or 5 years where we move the 18.
To me, if you're in the PA, that has to be a blood issue. That you're not doing this.
Maybe. But, like, if they do the thing where you get two bye weeks or whatever.
That's sports, though. It's the weakest PA in sports, that one.
Yeah, that's true. And, like I think in the next 5 years they're going to have the 18-game schedule, and then they're going to move the Super Bowl back one to the second or third week of February. But basically, it'll be set up where the Super Bowl is always after the Sunday before President's Day, right?
Yes.
Or up here, Family Day. It's called Family Day
up here,
I think.
That's Ontario, yeah. But, yeah.
True.
That might be what.
So the United States and us will be covered, because I've long had the belief that.
I have a holiday that day, too, but, like, there'll be some places that don't. But either way.
Yeah. The day after the Super Bowl, the Monday after the Super Bowl should be a day off in North America, is all I'm saying, right? It just should be. And if that sort of naturally happens, that's okay. But, well, not naturally, but if they have added game, I guess that's okay. But still, yeah, because, like, they're going to pitch that, and it'll likely happen next time they go to the negotiating table.
And I understand that, like, it's just shifting money around. But why haven't you done this? Why haven't you added a second bye week to the season?
That's what they'll do. If they do go to the 18 game, they'll at least do that, I guarantee, because that'll make it look like, hey, at least,
then it's not a blood issue with the PA.
Yeah.
Because hear me out. You don't add the game. You just add the bye week. Here's what you get if you do that. Yeah, like Fox and CBS not pleased, because over the long haul they're going to lose a little bit because they don't have as many games on their Sunday afternoon slates. I understand that. They'll still have games, just not as many. And then you spread it out. So it's one extra week. So then all of a sudden, bang, you're going to NBC and saying, you owe us for another week of Sunday Night Football. Bang, you're going to ESPN and saying, you owe us for another week of Monday Night Football. Bang, you're going to, like, whoever's doing Thursday Night Football, Amazon, whoever, you owe us for another week. So I think you could do that without it being a blood issue for the PA. You still push the Super Bowl back by a week, and you don't put that type of wear and tear on the odometer of these players. I think that's what you should do. Maybe that makes too much sense. But that's what I think they should do. If they want to move the Super Bowl back, they want to get another date for Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, all this stuff. They want to do all that stuff. You can make that happen. Yeah, you've got to, like, take some of the things away from the Fox and CBS inventory. You know, over the course of the year, you're taking 16 games from them, and you're spreading that out, and you're leaving, I think, 12 of them with Fox and CBS. So basically, you're taking 4 games from Fox and CBS, giving them the other networks, but they're primetime games. They're worth more money, and you move the Super Bowl back a week. Again, that doesn't put any butts in the seats. You're not selling tickets for those games. You're not selling suites for those games. I understand that. But you can do this, whereas you spread things out a little bit, make the sweetest plum TV packages a little bit more expensive, and you don't have to go to war with the players.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And oh, and by the way, networks, it would be easier to flex primetime games out in this situation into other scenarios, so we don't end up with a 2023 scenario.
You're going to want to hear that. Like they'll be annoyed by flexing, but if you work at NBC or ESPN, ooh, flexing. That's interesting. Yeah, we like that.
Yeah.
So that's a fight that they'll have to have.
True, yeah, and we need more flexing, guys. We just do, especially after what we went through last year. Anyway, this is a great conversation. I love this conversation about the extension of playoffs and whatnot as it pertains to baseball and how it seems to have filtered into the other sports. And like I was saying, it does make sense. It makes sense to me in baseball in the NBA, but because the cream always rises to the top. But in hockey, there's just the fact that the goalies, who sole purpose in hockey is to stop fun from happening, exist. You know, it's just not right. I don't know. The play-in just wouldn't work. Anyway, so that's it for this podcast. Crossover available at thecrossoverpodcast.com, facebook.com/crossoverpodcast, and iTunes. Please rate and subscribe. 5 stars only. We're also on pretty much any podcatcher that we happen to be that happens to exist. And if we're not, email us at contact@thecrossoverpodcast.com and let us know, and we'll get on the podcatcher that you happen to be on. That is it for this week. We'll be back next week talking a little WrestleMania, I think, with Mac and Bill. They'll likely come on, and we'll discuss what is going to happen at the granddaddy of them all that The Rock is going to participate in this year for that two-night event. So it should be a lot of fun. And we're just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the NHL playoffs starting. So Craig, you'll be back on here in a couple of weeks. And we'll finally see who's going to play who. Because this is the first time the system's worked for Gary, I think. Just talking about this bum playoff system that he's got. This is the first time where I'm like, stared at the Colorado Avalanche, and I'm like, man, they could have, like, there's four opponents they could have in the first round. They could have Dallas, they could have Winnipeg, they could have Nashville, they could have the Vegas Golden Knights. It's likely going to be one of those four, right? But it could be any of those four, and they could have any result of home ice. Likely, I think they're just going to run away and go ahead and win the West and play the thing. And your Leafs aren't locked into Boston like I thought they were a month or so ago, aren't they, Craig?
We'll see Boston. We'll see Florida. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Florida's York kind of
a little bit lately. Although Florida won today, but they've hit the skids a little bit lately.
That's true. They were going at a pretty unsustainable clip there. So, yeah, I'm not surprised to see them. You know, I mean, they're still a good team, but I'm not surprised that they lost a couple here and there on the way. Craig, as always, pleasure doing this with you, bud. Take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time on the Crossover Podcast.